Greetings. My name is Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Ms. Marceline White, who's Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. And Marceline's here today to talk to us about consumer rights in Maryland and some things that we need to do to support consumer rights in the Annapolis session. So, Marceline, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm so glad and proud to have you on the show. You do so many good things. You folks do so many good things for the citizens of Maryland, and you don't get credit occasionally by from people like me on radio shows, but most of the time you're operating in the shadows and helping things get better. So I'm proud to have you on the show.
Well, we're happy to be here and to talk to folks about what's going on in Annapolis, as well as some of the other work we're doing throughout the state and especially in Baltimore City.
That's great. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us a little bit about the coalition?
Sure. The Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, or MCRC, was developed and started in 2000. So we've been around for a while, and it was really started by a group of consumer lawyers and poverty advocates who felt like there was no real voice for consumer protection or the interest of low-income people in Annapolis. So they really founded the coalition to be part of that voice, to talk about the needs of how state policy affected individuals as well as working families across the state. And I've been the executive director since 2009. We have two other staff people, so we're very small, but have a lot of volunteers. And we have about 8,500 supporters across the state that are individuals who get our action alerts, learn about our trainings, learn about the consumer education work we do. And then, of course, we partner with a lot of people around the state and coalition.
Great. How can somebody get in touch with you?
Fantastic. Great question. You can go to our website. It's www.marylandconsumers.org. Again, that's www.marylandconsumers.org. And Maryland is spelled out.
It's spelled out.
Yes.
You took the question right out of my mouth there, Marceline. You can tell we've been interviewed here.
Exactly. And we also have, if you are on Facebook, it's MD Consumers on Facebook. Uh-huh. And MD Consumers on Twitter. So you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. And as you know, I'm going to ask you that contact information a couple times.
So more than happy to provide it.
So the folks can get in touch and support some things. Your website is great, incidentally.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of very, very interesting and informative information out there. So it's a great way for folks to keep in touch as well as to learn about some of the things that really help us do the things that and be protected in this state.
Thank you.
So you folks I know that you do both education as well as advocacy.
Right.
Could you tell us a little bit about the education piece?
Sure. In part, when you think about consumer protection, one of the most important things is that people know when there are scams and what the scams are and how to protect themselves and get them information about products and services, both good and bad. So we do a lot of consumer protection. We have two brochures. One is how to buy a used car. The other is how to improve your home, because home improvement scams are one of the biggest scams we see, particularly for older adults, when people may drive around with a truck and offer services, they've been in the neighborhood and they offer services. And now that it's getting to be spring, people are thinking about home improvement again. So the home improvement guide is very important. How to buy a used car is important. But more than that, we also do work with our SOAR program, which is Securing Older Adult Resources. Uh-huh. And that program is focused on supporting and educating older adults about resources that are available to them, what kinds of scams they may be seeing that target older adults. Also, how to connect to make sure they're getting all of the benefits they're entitled to mm-hmm. make sure that they're doing screenings to get all of their benefits, and connect them to sources for food, energy, legal services, other kinds of assistance. So it's really been a one-stop shop kind of education campaign.
Boy, that's invaluable.
It's been great. We did 10 throughout the city last year. reached out and met with more than 600 older adults, and were able to provide them and connect them with legal services, as well as benefit screenings, and also our largest campaign, which is educating people about the homeowner's tax credit and the renter's tax credit.
Mm-hmm. How can somebody find out when the next one is and all that?
This Securing Older Adult Resources SOAR events will be in the spring after the legislative session. Mm-hmm. So you can go to our website. And if you sign up on our website, you'll get alerts about any of our trainings, our educational materials, any new research that comes out. And it's free to join right now. So it's a great way. Also on Facebook, if you just like our Facebook page, we also post a lot of things there on a daily basis.
Great. So it's www.MarylandConsumers, all spelled out, .org.
That's right. And on Facebook, it's MD Consumers, as well as on Twitter, it's MD Consumers.
Great. Good. Now, the Annapolis session, not
yes.
only is upon us, but is rolling along here.
It is.
And I know you folks are very, very active in there. How's it going and what needs to be done?
Great questions. A couple good things that we've been working on have moved forward and we're very pleased. One is legislation that prohibits certain factors in auto insurance. So in Maryland, auto insurance companies can't look at race or income, but they can look at all kinds of other factors that don't relate to your driving record to price your auto insurance. So they can look at your credit score. They can look at your education. They can look at your occupation. They can look at whether you're a man or a woman. They can look at your marital status. And several other states bar some of those factors. We've started moving forward on that in Maryland. Legislation is moving forward to ban what we call the widow's tax, which is based on research we found that if a woman who's been married loses her spouse in Maryland, some insurance companies will charge her 30% more after her spouse dies. And they won't charge a man whose wife may pass away the same amount. The man gets no increase in their premiums, but the woman does.
That's not fair.
It's not fair at all. In fact, that's what we said in the testimony was it's fundamentally unfair. So they have passed legislation to get rid of that.
Good.
And it'll save, on average, a woman who's lost her spouse about $435 a year on her auto insurance. So it's a real savings. It's meaningful.
That's money they really need.
It's real money. And especially you're on a fixed income, it's really important to get that money back in your pocket.
Yeah.
So that's moving forward and we're very pleased with that. We'll probably bring back more legislation looking at some of the other factors next year. We also worked with Senator Rosa Pep and Delegate Frick, who's a huge consumer advocate, to pass a Consumer Protection Commission. And what that's going to do is look at what's happening at the federal level and look at the Consumer Financial Protection Agency and other agencies. And if certain regulations are weakened, see what the state of Maryland can do to protect our consumers. And so they're creating a task force to look at that, and we're really pleased to see that moving forward as well.
Good, and that's really important for the latest Trump budget.
Yep.
Proposed eliminating.
Yes.
Eliminating the Consumer Protection Bureau, as well as putting whatever was left underneath the making it a political appointment.
Well, the thing is, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is probably one of the most successful agencies we've ever had.
Yeah.
They've already gotten billions of dollars back for consumers. They've engaged in a number of settlements. They've done fantastic data-based, evidence-based research. And the director needs to be independent so that he's not pulled one way or another by politics. So we actually have been engaged at the federal level in fighting to support the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and make sure that it can remain independent and a strong watchdog for consumers, for people who otherwise may not have a voice in what's happening at the federal level and how these policies may affect them.
How can somebody at home help?
Great question. What we would love to do is have people really weigh in with their legislators, both our senators and our Congress members, to tell them that we want to see a strong Consumer Financial Protection Agency and that our senators and delegates, our congresspeople, have to do everything they can. I think we're fortunate in Maryland that we have a strong congressional delegation. But because of that, one of the things we've been telling advocates is you have to ask them to do more. Now's the time for them to really step up and really make their voices heard, especially in the Senate.
Let me interrupt you for
a quick
one. Yep,
absolutely.
I for a while, in my career thought, oh, geez, well, you know, Senator Mikulski or Senator, you know, Sarbanes or whoever it is going to vote for it anyway. Why should I send an email or why should I send why should I do a phone call in support? And then I realized that in actuality, they need those letters of support to reinforce what they're going, you know, reinforce them in the right direction. They could sit on their hands if they don't get enough of that stuff.
Absolutely. In fact, let me tell you, one of the things we've been doing since the election, since the presidential election, is running advocacy trainings, just a civic engagement class for people to learn how to best engage at the federal level. And we'll be doing advocacy trainings on how to engage at the state level. So everyone is armed and has the tools they need to be effective advocates, because we all need to be engaged in the civic process. But that's exactly what we said to people, is that they need to hear from you, because they will hear from people who oppose this. They'll hear from people who don't want this. They need to hear from everyone who does want this. And when they do the right thing, they need to be thanked. People often get mad at people when they do the wrong thing, but we forget to thank people when they're standing up for us. Yeah. And so they need that support to make sure that they know that they're representing the desires of their constituents. So it's really important right now to really make sure that they hear from you and that you thank them when they do the right thing.
And how can somebody do that?
So a couple things. There are a couple. We post some things on our website, and we've also been directing people in terms of ways to engage with other organizations that are doing weekly actions or weekly phone calls. Again, a lot of our focus has been on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, as well as the Department of Education, because we've done a lot of work around for-profit schools, and we're seeing some weakening and rollbacks on protections for both student loan borrowers and those who've been taken advantage of at for-profit schools. So we've also done some targeted work on ways to push the Department of Education and to push our members of Congress who have some influence over that.
Good. To save some people a lot of money that get ripped off by some of these fraudulent schools.
We did research last year, and we found in Maryland, people who go to for-profit schools take out 3 to 5 times higher debt loads than those who don't. The schools cost a great deal more, and you're still not necessarily graduating with a degree that will get you a job. Yet you can't get rid of this debt. It's almost impossible to get rid of, even in bankruptcy. So even if you don't get a job, you have this debt load that you have to manage. And we find that they've really targeted low-income communities. They've really targeted communities of color with marketing and ads. And so we're really trying to engage. We did some work on the state level to better protect students, but we're trying to engage on the federal level as well. The other thing, in terms of advocacy, there is a really important fight taking place right now in Annapolis, and that is to stop payday lending. As people may know, payday lending are these short-term loans that people take out, and you're supposed to pay it back in 2 weeks. But what we've seen in other states across the country is they charge 300 to 400% interest rates for these short-term loans. So people can't pay them back. You can never pay that back in 2 weeks, and you end up taking out another loan and getting into a spiral of debt. It's really a debt trap. In Maryland, we've had a 33% rate cap for 3 decades, and that has kept these payday loan sharks, these payday lenders, out of our state. But an out-of-state lender has taken advantage of a loophole and is now offering loans at 400%, 300% interest rates. So we're trying to close that loophole. And it's passed in the House, but the Senate has not acted on it. So we really need people to contact their senators if they don't want these kinds of payday loans coming into the state, and tell their senator to basically support legislation to close the payday loophole so we don't have these predatory lenders coming in.
And they can do that by going on MarylandConsumers.org?
They can go to MarylandConsumers.org. We have action alerts posted on the website. We also have action alerts posted on our Facebook and our Twitter. And if you sign up, for alerts, you'll get our alerts about every step of the process.
And I guess they could try to give you a call too, huh?
Absolutely.
What would that number be?
You can call 410-624-8980. Again, that's 410-624-8980.
Great. Thank you. We are just about out of time, Marceline. Things go too quickly with
I know.
This great information that helps Marylanders not get ripped off and helps Marylanders lead better lives. Could you give us all of that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. And I'm going to add one more in. Our website is www.MarylandConsumersWithAnS.org, and Maryland is spelled out. Our Facebook is MD Consumers. Our Twitter is MD Consumers. You can call us and reach us by phone at 410-624-8980. And also, you can go to MarylandTaxCredit.com, which is www.MarylandTaxCredit.com, to find out if you're eligible for the homeowner's tax credit or the renter's tax credit.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Marceline White, Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, for being our guest. Thank you, Marceline.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.